Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. Question number one. It was on this very day back in 1957 that Bing Crosby and Frank Sinatra televised an hour-long special devoted to what? Was it A, devoted to the introduction of the Ford Edsel? Was it B, to Halloween music? Was it C, to the evils of rock and roll? Or was it D, for stereo sound systems for bomb shelters? 1957, Crosby Sinatra hour-long special promoting what? And question number two, a lawsuit was filed against Don Henley on this day back in 2000. For what? Was it A, for Henley refusing to sing songs by his former band, the Eagles? Was it B, for Henley playing too many songs by his former band, the Eagles? Was it C, for loss of hearing due to the fan's seat right in front of the speakers? Or was it D, for the fan being hit in the head by a maraca? So why was Henley sued anyway? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of October 13th. Well, it was on this very day back in 1886 that Night on Bald Mountain premiered in St. Petersburg, Russia. This musical fantasy composed by Modest Petrovich Mussorgsky premiered 1886 today. And it was 68 years ago today, 1955, that the Grand Ole Opry premiered on ABC TV. Grand Ole Opry, 1955, today. Jennifer Warnes, I Came So Far for Beauty, introduces our country music news. It's titled Women Changing the World, Brandy and Catherine Carlisle, Empowering a Community to Respond to Global Crises. This is written by Brianne Tracy in People magazine, 3/13/23. Before they were Grammy darlings, Brandy Carlisle and her bandmates, Tim and Phil Handsworth, were approached by General Motors in 2008 about using their song, The Story, in an ad for the Olympics. We felt really conflicted over GM's relationship with Big Oil and the vehicles being featured in the commercial, Brandy recalls. So we said no. And it was a big deal because we were a bunch of broke musicians in our 20s. Eventually, GM circled back to Brandy and the Hansroths to see if they might help rewrite the ad to feature the company's electric cars. They agreed, and the money they made, they started Looking Out Foundation, LOF, not just with an eye on the environment, but with the hope of adding a multitude of humanitarian causes. Most recently, Brandy 41, with the help of Catherine 47, launched a campaign to raise funds in the wake of the February 6th earthquake that devastated parts of Syria and Turkey. Within 7 days, they were able to raise $300,000 to aid the White Helmets, a volunteer organization of emergency responders, and Rescue Association, with the Carlisles matching the first $100,000. Part of our mission is being able to pivot quickly and respond to whatever situation may arise at any given moment, says Catherine. The average donation is about $50, so it's astounding we were able to make that impact collectively. Brandy, who plans to set up a quote-unquote action village, because we're small and scrappy, our fans trust us and they feel very much a part of it. We love our ability to galvanize, pull together, and respond.
For beauty, I left so much behind. My patience and my family.
Johann Sebastian Bach introduces our classical music news. I Am a Guitar International Festival unveils the riches of Polish classical guitar. This is written by Barry Davis, 10-12-22, Jerusalem Post. The Wach world's loss is the classical domain's gain. Had things gone differently, Matusa Kowalski may have earned a living strutting the stages of the world stadia and cavernous auditoria, unleashing lightning riffs piped through ear-shattering amplification levels, rather than applying filigree touches to his guitar strings, albeit sometimes at hardly credible high speed. The 27-year-old award-winning Polish instrumentalist is in the lineup of the third edition of the International I Am a Guitar Festival, which took place in Tel Aviv in October. He brought with him the hefty cultural baggage he has made a point of unveiling to the world. I put it to him that most of us do not naturally think of Poland and the guitar in the same breath. Kowalski concurred and took the incongruity mindset a step further. I would say that most people don't even associate the guitar with the world of classical music, he notes. He is not exactly standing around bemoaning that inaccuracy. He is doing something about righting that gross misconception with his live and recorded musical efforts. His latest album, Polish Romantic Guitar, features works by 19th-century Polish virtuoso guitarists and composers. Naturally, there are a couple scores by Chopin in there, too, with mazurkas transcribed for guitar. Kowalski points out that it is high time that Polish guitarists were given their due. One of Kowalski's musical idols is Johann Sebastian Bach. In that regard, he is no different from thousands of his fellow musicians over the past 3+ centuries. He plans a slot in a Bach score during his upcoming concerts. I think it was Berlioz who said, "There is God and there is Bach." I keep Bach's major prelude in C major in my repertoire because it works like a mirror for me. Bach has also been called by many the first jazz musician. It is very important for classical musicians to be able to improvise. I've learned that people who play classical music who didn't improvise lack the natural instinctive approach to the music. Kowalski adds, "When I was 12 or 13, I wanted to leave the classical guitar and play acoustic and electric guitar. That idea was headed off at the pass in the most general and understanding manner. My teacher said, 'Okay, this semester you can play whatever you want.' So I chose to play Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven with a very interesting arrangement and some other fingerstyle pieces that were interesting to me at that time. The teacher must have realized that he needed to let matters run their course. Kowalski admits, 'I started to find complicated classical pieces more interesting to me. I was finally able to bring the music out of them with my guitar.'" That's hard to do. The guitar is such a complicated instrument, especially for high-level performance. It's not so obvious that you will go to a guitar recital and hear the same kind of emotion and musicality that you'll hear from a piano recital. That Kowalski achieved that height was evidenced to the audience at his October concerts.
This shit, that ice cold, Michelle fight for that white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpieces. Stylin', wildin', living it up in the city. Got Chuck's on with Saint Laurent, gotta kiss myself, I'm so pretty.
Uptown Funk introduces our music research and technology. How the phonograph changed music forever. Much like streaming music services today are reshaping our relationship to music, Edison's invention redefined the entire industry. This is published in Smithsonian by Clive Thompson on January 2016 issue. These days, music is increasingly free in just about every sense of the word. Right now, if you decided you wanted to hear, say, Uptown Funk, the song playing in the background now, you could be listening to it in seconds. It's up free on YouTube, streamable on Spotify, or buyable for about $2 on iTunes. The days of scavenging in record stores and slowly, expensively building a music library are over. It's also become easier than ever to make music. Every Mac ships with a copy of GarageBand software, powerful enough to let anyone record an album. Are these trends a good thing for musicians, for us, for the world of audible art? Now the arguments begin. Some cultural critics say our new world has liberated music, creating listeners with broader tastes than ever before. Others worry that finding music is too frictionless, and that without having to scrimp and save to buy an album, we care less about music. No pain, no gain. If you own all the music ever recorded for the entire history of the world, asked the novelist Nick Hornby in a column for Billboard, then who are you? Other artists disagree, arguing that giving away your music for free online makes it easier to build a global fan base. A confusing time, to be sure, but it's certainly no more confusing than the upheaval that greeted a much older music technology, the phonograph. Back in the 19th century, it caused fights and joy, too. as it had forever transformed the face of music. It's almost hard to reconstruct how different music was before the phonograph. Back in the mid-1800s, if you wanted to hear a song, you had only one option, live. You listened while someone played it, or else you played it yourself. That changed in 1877 when Thomas Edison unveiled his phonograph. The article skips down, ends with this. Nick Hornby may worry that young people aren't committed to their music because it costs them less, but because it's so easy to sample widely, they no longer identify as a fan of a single genre. In the age of the iPod and the age of Pandora and the age of Spotify, we've seen the average college student go from being a hardcore rock fan or a hardcore hip-hop fan to being a connoisseur of a lot of different genres and a casual fan of dozens more. And they're less likely to judge people on their musical taste. One thing is true. While the recording medium may constantly change, one thing won't. Our love of listening to it. It's been a constant since Edison first produced his scratchy recordings on tinfoil. Even he seems to have intuited the power of that invention. Edison was once asked, of your thousand-fold patents, which is your favorite invention? I like the phonograph best, he replied. And in local music news, we have this article, Supporting Music Education in Our Community. This is published in Quarter Notes, WCPE 89.7 FM, Fall 2023 issue. We believe that music education should be available to all students. Unfortunately, many students don't have access to music classes at school. The Classical Station partners with other musical nonprofits to help ensure that music is accessible to young people right here in our community. The Classical Station's Education Fund plays a vital role in supporting and enriching classical music education initiatives throughout our region. Grants for scholarships, lessons, and concert experiences, as well as instruments, are awarded every spring. This year, the Education Fund awarded over $16,000 in grants to the following organizations: Community Music School, Kids Notes, Musical Empowerment, NC Arts in Action, North Carolina Chamber Music Institute, and School of Hope, and the SKJAJA Fund. Over the last 14 years, the Education Fund has granted over $138,000 to various organizations and initiatives, providing essential resources to nurture and inspire the next generation of classical musicians. To learn more information about the Education Fund or to support its initiatives, please visit www.theclassicalstation.org. So how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question It was on this very day, back in 1957, that Bing Crosby and Frank Sinatra played an hour-long special devoted to what? Was it A, the introduction of the Ford Edsel? Was it B, Halloween music? Was it C, the evils of rock and roll? Or was it D, stereo sound systems for bomb shelters? Correct answer. Answer A, the hour-long special was to introduce the Ford Edsel. As noted in MaxMotorCityGarage.com, formally announced on September the 4th, 1957, as E-Day, as it was called, the Edsel received one of the grandest consumer product rollouts in history. The Ford Motor Company pumped out a media blizzard of print, sound, television, and film properties to promote the bold new car line. But arguably, the most memorable element of the campaign came on October the 13th with The Edsel Show, a CBS television variety special hosted by Bing Crosby. The one-hour extravaganza starred the biggest entertainment personalities of the day, including Frank Sinatra, Rosemary Clooney, Louis Armstrong, and Bob Hope. The Edsel may have been a flop, but the Edsel Show is celebrated as one of the great moments in the golden age of television. The Edsel Show is historically significant from another angle, as the oldest example of videotape in existence. Host Bing Crosby was an investor in the early technology. For the surviving videotape, we can thank Chris Texter, an Emmy Award-winning Hollywood production guy who also happens to be a car enthusiast and an Edsel man. Chris tracked down and preserved the sole remaining copy of that show. For the story of the videotape, Chris's car collection, and some fascinating TV history, be sure to visit his website, King of the Road. If you enjoy classic musical variety, you'll definitely want to watch Chris's complete, unabridged version of The Edsel Show on YouTube. You'll appreciate the quality of the recording, which is far superior to the clunky kinescope technology of the period, and to see Sinatra, Clooney, Satchmo, and company performing together is a gift in itself. In this clip, all four Edsel models for 1958 are given the star treatment: the Ranger, the Pacer, the Corsair, and the top-of-the-line Citation, with flowery exposition by announcer Warren Hull. And now, a word from our sponsor. And the answer to our second question: a lawsuit was filed against Don Henley on this day back in 2000. For what? Was it A, for Henley refusing to sing songs by his former band, the Eagles? Was it B, for Henley playing too many songs by his former band, the Eagles? Was it C, for loss of hearing due to the fan seat right in front of the speakers? Or was it D, for the fan being hit in the head by a maraca? Correct answer, answer D, for the fan being hit in the head by a maraca. This Little Rock, Arkansas suit was the result of an alleged flying maraca during an October 4th, 2000 concert. As noted in an UltimateClassicRock.com article by Jeff Giles on 10/14/15, we all know Don Henley has some very strong opinions regarding concertgoers taking photos during his shows. On October the 4th, 2001, fan accused him of making his feelings painfully clear. According to an Associated Press report, the trouble started during a Little Rock, Arkansas stop on the tour in support of Henley's Inside Job solo LP. Audience member Marianne Haley claimed that her attempt to take a picture of the Eagles co-founder was foiled when Henley threw a maraca at her, hitting her in the forehead. And by the way, a maraca is a rattle made out of hollowed gourd with dried beans, usually used in Caribbean music. Adding insult to injury, Haley said Henley then gestured in her direction while announcing that he'd appreciate no more flash photography, all of which combined to cause highly unpleasant mental reactions, including fright, horror, disappointment, chagrin, worry, disgrace, embarrassment, indignity, ridicule, grief, shame, humiliation, anger, and outrage. She promptly filed a lawsuit against Henley, seeking unspecified damages for her trouble. As Rod Stewart can attest, any star who ducked and chucks a projectile off the stage for whatever reason is liable to find himself on the receiving end of a lawsuit. But Henley seems to do a good job of keeping his legal team limbered up and ready to go, so he probably wouldn't have had a hard time facing this suit, if it ever made it to court, that is. There's no record of a settlement or a verdict being handed down on Haley's complaint, and after she filed her lawsuit, the county prosecutor indicated he was unlikely to pursue an investigation into her claims. "It's not the silliest thing I've heard this year," he scoffed to the AP, "but it's definitely in the top 10." So let's close out today's program with Don Henley singing his co-written hit, Desperado, recorded by the Eagles in 1973.
Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? You've been out riding fences for so long now. Oh, you're a hard one, but I know that you got your reasons.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long. Until next time.
Don't your feet get cold in the wintertime? The sky won't snow and the sun won't shine. It's hard to tell the night time.